Good morning. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Wednesday morning as we're looking at Psalm 146. As we come to these last five psalms in the Psalter, 146 to 150, these are known as Hallelujah Psalms because they begin and end with the word Hallelujah, which is translated as praise the Lord. And so it's a very joyful, very celebratory, very positive, very worshipful conclusion to the Psalms. As we've gone through the Psalms, we've seen that they reflect, as John Calvin said, in the Psalms you have a mirror of the full anatomy of the human soul. You see reflected here as in a mirror the full anatomy of the human soul is what Calvin said about the Psalms. And some of them have been very deep in despair. Some of them have been desperate with longing. Some of them have been afraid with enemies surrounding. But we end now with this five psalms that are very positive. They still have much to teach us about the priorities that we should be pursuing as God's people, about the character of God. But they are overall very, very worshipful. So Psalm 146 is first on tap. Let's pray together and then look into this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, which is unfailing and true and steadfast and an anchor for our souls. Father, we thank you for what we've been learning as we've been going through the Psalms this year. Over this past several months, it's been basically a year that we've been going through the Psalms together, and we thank you that you've been teaching us and growing us, and we pray that you would continue to do so as we continue through these Psalms. And take Psalm 146, Father, and write it on our hearts this morning as we look to it. We look to you to do this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful psalm to teach us about the character of God and to call us to worship him and to call us really to imitate him. So we open with this double, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's hallelujah, hallelujah, oh my soul, right? So we use that word hallelujah. It's just taken directly from the Hebrew, hallelujah. Hallel is to praise. Lu is let us, or it's a sort of a exhortation, and then Yahweh, the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul. So there's going to be a call to the people of God to worship the Lord together and to praise him, but it begins with our own soul, right? Whenever we're focused on worshiping God and we want to call others to worship God with us and we want to worship together with people of God, but our soul, we need to preach the gospel to our own soul first. We need to stir up our own soul to want God, to long for God, to worship God, right? I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is a resolve. It's a commitment. I will, right? It's stirring up your own heart, stirring up your own soul. So often, if we go to church, we go to worship, and we don't get much out of it, we sort of walk away and say, well, I didn't really get that much out of that, you know, and we can blame the music team for not being on point with the music. We can blame the pastor for being maybe a little bit dull and boring. But do we look to our own heart? Do we look to, did I prepare myself for worship, right? Did I go resolving that I was going to meet with God? I was going to worship God, right? There's this strong resolve here. I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises while I have my being. As long as we're drawing breath, every breath that we have is given to us by God. And as we inhale God's air by God's grace, we should exhale praise to God for that air and for that grace to keep us alive. And then there's a very strong warning. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. People make great objects of love, great objects of service, and terrible objects of worship. People, we should love people, we should reach out to people, we should have compassion on people, we should care for people, but we absolutely cannot put our trust in people or worship people or rest our confidence on people. People make terrible gods, right? And this is something that we continually need to remind ourselves of. You know, we may be tempted to put our hope in our spouse, in our children, in political leaders, in cultural influencers, in celebrity pastors, whatever, right? The best of men are but men at best, and everyone is fallible, and if you put your confidence or your trust in anyone, they will disappoint you. They will let you down. They will fail you. There is no salvation. We've pointed out several times in the Psalms, the word salvation is the same word as the name of Jesus, Yeshua. There is no Jesus. People are not Jesus. This is another reminder to me. Like, that guy's great, but he ain't Jesus, right? I can't put my trust in him. I can't put my hope in him. I have to put my hope in the Lord. So blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And whenever I see God being called the God of Jacob, which several times in the Old Testament God takes on this title of being the God of Jacob, it just is remarkable to me. God of Jacob, not God of Israel. Israel was the name that Jacob's name was changed into. But Jacob means the usurper, right? The trickster. He was the one who basically conned his brother out of his birthright and then conned his father into giving him a blessing. He was the trickster. He was the usurper. He was the con artist. That's Jacob means usurper. And so it's interesting that God would take that name. He's the God of Jacob. He's the God of the sinner. He's the God of the one who needs salvation. He's the God of the one who needs the grace of God. And that just reminds me that, you know, if God is willing to be called the God of Jacob, Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Fame of Faith says God was not ashamed to be called their God. If God's willing to be called the God of Jacob, then he's not ashamed to be called the God of Jason, or the God of whoever you are, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So we don't put our hope in princes or the Son of Man. We put our hope in the Lord, our God. For the Lord is self-sufficient. I am who I am. The Lord is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. And so our hope rests securely when our hope is placed in Him. Our hope is on shaky ground when it's placed in any person, but our hope rests very securely when it's placed in the Lord our God. He made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. That speaks to His power. Creation shows His power. And that word God, Elohim, that's the word, that's the name for God used in Genesis 1 in the creation account. He's Elohim, He's Almighty. He's the mighty God, He's the creator God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But then He keeps faith forever. That's the Lord. That's His covenant name. He never breaks His covenant promises. So Yahweh and Elohim, the words about creation reflect the name Elohim, and the words about keeping faith forever reflect the Yahweh title for God. God, the Lord our God, executes justice for the oppressed and gives food for the hungry. And here we start to see how the character of God, right, who God is and how God acts, is not only a call for us to praise Him, but it's also a call for us to imitate Him. Because if God keeps faith forever, He's the covenant-keeping God, we should strive by God's grace and for His glory to keep faith in the covenant commitments that we have made in marriage, right? In the church, in the community, the covenant commitments that we've made, we should seek to be faithful. God values faithfulness because He is faithful and He longs to see faithfulness in the lives of His people. And we can be faithful by His grace alone. And God executes justice for the oppressed. We should seek to be used of God to execute justice for the oppressed. We should be on the side of those who are oppressed, and we should be advocates for them. He gives food to the hungry. We should be seeking to feed the hungry. This is a call to say, if this is the character of our God, let us worship Him for who He is. Let us trust Him and put all of our hope in Him, but let us also seek to imitate Him and live like Him as His people. And then we have this wonderful just repetition of the name of the Lord. I mean, look at this in these last three verses, right? We have the name of the Lord seven times. It's never a coincidence when you see something like seven in a row there in three verses. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. So the opening praise the Lord was a call to our own soul to praise the Lord. The closing praise the Lord is a call for Zion. That's for the people of God. Zion is a word that refers to Mount Zion, where Jerusalem is built, but it's kind of a shorthand for a way to refer to the people of God as the people of God's own possession. So it's a reference to the church, right? Like the hymn, "Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God," is a hymn about the church. So when we see Zion in the Psalms, we should immediately think of the people of God. But look at what God does. Think about this in terms of salvation, right? He sets the prisoners free. He opens the eyes of the blind. One of my favorite hymns is "And Can It Be," right? "And Can It Be? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray," right? The dungeon filled with light, right? The dungeon filled with light. And my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. This is what God alone does. We're in the chains of sin, in the prison of condemnation for our guilt. We are locked away in misery and sin because we know we're guilty and the law of God stands against us. And God alone sets the prisoners free and opens the eyes of the blind. He releases us from the prison of sin and condemnation. He opens our eyes to see the truth of who Jesus is and how wonderful salvation is found in Jesus alone. He watches over us, right? He lifts us up, he loves us, and he watches over us. We are sojourners through this world, right? This is not our home. We are on pilgrimage to our eternal home. And he upholds the widow and the fatherless. So we shouldn't over-spiritualize this. We shouldn't miss the spiritual truth of this, that God sets us free from sin and death and condemnation, opens our eyes to see Jesus, lifts us up when we're bowed down under the weight of the fear of death, that he loves us and he watches over us because we're sojourners. We absolutely should not miss that. But we also should not miss the very real call that God has on our lives to be imitating him and seeking to set the prisoners free and to open the eyes of the blind spiritually by preaching the gospel and doing missions, but also by visiting those who are in prison, by caring for the poor and the sick and the stranger. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25? He said, "You visited me in prison," right? "You fed me when I was hungry. You clothed me when I was naked." And the sheep say, "Lord, when did we ever see you in prison? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you?" And he said, "Whenever you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So we should see this as a total picture of the spiritual realities of the gospel and salvation, but also of the reality for us to be compassionate, even as God has been compassionate to us. So to really care for the widow and the fatherless, to really visit the imprisoned, to really help those who are bowed down, in both spiritually by bringing them the gospel and physically by bringing them compassion and relief and mercy. And how can we do this? And why should we do this? Ultimately, it's because the Lord reigns forever and he's our God. We want to be like him, right? God calls us to be his and he calls us to be like him. So we want to be like our God. And our God reigns forever. So by his strength, by his power, and in imitation of his character, we long to worship him for who he is, to praise him for what he's done for us, and we seek to be his hands and feet, to be his ambassadors, to be salt and light in the world, and to be used by him in this world for his glory. And we praise him throughout it all. We praise him throughout it all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful psalm. I hope it was an encouragement and a blessing to you. It always is to me. I love being in God's word. And having my heart stirred by remembering what is true and what we believe. Let's pray together. Father, you are the everlasting God, the Lord, who never changes and is all self-sufficient, eternal, wonderful, gracious, and compassionate. You are the one who has compassion on those who are weak, those who are sick, those who are oppressed, those who are imprisoned, which is all of us, Father, in our natural condition due to sin and death and hell and Satan. We're all under bondage of oppression, and you set us free by sending your Son to be our salvation. But you call us also to be ambassadors for Christ, to be salt and light, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to extend to others the compassion that we have received from you. So, Father, let us not put our trust in princes or in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. But, Father, let us be the ones whose hope is in you, so that we're blessed, Father, because our strength and our hope are in you and in you alone. Keep us in that hope, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, our plan is Friday morning. We'll be in Psalm 147 as we continue on. Just four more psalms to go until we get to Psalm 150, Lord willing, and that'll be next Friday, the 26th. So have a blessed day in the Lord, and I hope to see you back here on Friday morning.